So we were talking a little bit about Shovim the other day, and I guess I took it for granted that a few people came over to me asking what Shovim is, so let me explain what Shovim is just a little bit. So I mentioned that Shovim in the Rashi Tevos of Shmos, Vayira, Bo, B'Shalach, and so on. And these are the times, the weeks that the Arizal and others tell us that you need to work on tshuva. That's the Lashon Shovim, is Lashon of tshuva. So, many of the Farshim try to figure out where we see a remez to tshuva in the various parshios. Most of them are pretty obvious. It's pretty easy to find the source for tshuva. You know, Baruch Hashem, we have a religion that always gives us boosts throughout the year. You know, Rosh Hashanah comes, you don't have just one Rosh Hashanah. We have a Rosh Hashanah, and then there's a Sukkot, and then there's a Chanukah, and then there's a Purim, and then there's a, you know, there's a Tu B'Shav before that, and there's a Pesach. We always have Yom Tovim to help inspire us. But then there's a big gap between Chanukah and Purim. It's a little bit dry. We do have a little bit of Tu B'Shav. But Shovim is a time period to use for a moment of inspiration. So Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Yisro are easier parshios to find some type of inspiration. When you get to Mishpatim, I know we're not there yet, but we're not with each other, Parshat Mishpatim, so I'll speak about it this week. Parshat Mishpatim, it's very hard to find any level of inspiration, anything relating to tshuva. There are psukim that we have a hard time just getting pshat. It's pretty much a sikum of all of Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and Baba Kama together. And if you haven't learned the Babas, then you have a very hard time going through Rashi's there. It's just chazering all Gemaras. So it's tedious and hard to garner any level of inspiration in Parshas Mishpatim. But, of course, the various Mefarshim find hints to tshuva sprinkled throughout Mishpatim. So although we're very, very far from Elul, we're far from Rosh Hashanah, we're far from Yom Kippur, there's a remez to each one of these in Parshas Mishpatim. So firstly, the Arizal tells us that we know there are a number of different remazim to Elul, Chodesh Elul. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. So one such remez that Arizal points out is the pasuk, V'ha'elokim ana liyado v'samti l'cha makom. The Rashi Tevos, ana liyado v'samti l'cha, or Elul. And this pasuk is referring to the Ari Miklat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided Ari Miklat, the 42 cities of Ari Miklat, whereby even a murderer has a safe haven, has a chance, an opportunity for tshuva. Ve'elokim ana liyado v'samti l'cha makom. So no matter how far a person might be, there's always a chance for tshuva. There's always a safe haven. There's always an Ari Miklat. And this pasuk, ve'elokim ana liyado v'samti l'cha makom, is in Parshas Mishpatim. So Parshas Mishpatim contains one of the remazim to Chodesh Elul. Furthermore, the Ari Miklat that we're referring to, there are 42 and 6 Ari Miklat. 42 Ari Miklat and there's 6 Ari Migrash, and there's a difference. The Rambam says there are two differences between Ari Miklat and Ari Migrash. So 42 is a big number. There are 42 cities of Ari Miklat and the 42 days of Shovim. 7 days in a week, and there's 6 weeks. 7 times 6 is 42. So the 42 days of Shovim connect the 42 Ari Miklat. Also connects the 42 words in V'Avta Le'echa Kamocha as well. Shema Yisrael are 6 words connected to the 6 Ari Migrash. But either way, we see that there's a remez to Ari Miklat and to Elul in the 6 in Parshas Mishpatim. Now, after Elul comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Chidah says that too is a reference in Parshas Mishpatim. There's a pasuk that says if a person injures his Eved Kenani and the Eved Kenani dies, the responsibility of the master, so it depends how many days he dies from being injured. The pasuk says, Ach im yom o yomayim, a day or two, yam or lo yakum, he doesn't stand up, ki kaspohu. So the Chidah writes that Yom O Yomayim is a reference to Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Yomayim, the 2 days, is Rosh Hashanah. Yom is the singular day of Yom Kippur. Ach yom yomayim yamor lo yakum. If a person didn't daven properly, he didn't see his amida, his tefillah was done properly, it's because ki kaspahu, all he cared about was the money. All he cared about was the gashmis. That's what the Chida writes. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which is also a reference to Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's no surprise now that the name of Mishpatim is called Mishpatim, which is Yom Hadin, a reference to Yom HaMishpat, Rosh Hashanah itself. There's a Gemara that tells us Menashe did very, very bad things as a king, as an individual. And yet, the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that Milamed she'asalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kimin machteres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built a little tunnel, Birakia in Shemayim, kidei lekablo b'tshuva. That even though Menashe was so evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an opening below the Kisei HaKavod, says the Gemara, to allow Menashe a chance for tshuva. And this is the idea behind what another pasuk in the Parsha, Bab Machteres, when a person tunnels in, there's always, no matter how far a person is, no matter how far from the Derech HaTorah a person is, even like Menashe, there's always a Machteres, a way to come back in. So although Parsha Mishpatim seems very tedious, very dry, there are incredible Ramazim that are hinted to Tshuva and Shovim within the Parsha. Now, the Pashtus is how Mishpatim is really a source of tshuva and inspiration. The Pashas is the Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra tells us, HaRotze L'Hachkim, a person wants to be wise, he should be Osek. Anyone know? B'dini Mamonis. B'dini Mamonis is considered the most difficult part of Shas. It requires incredible amelus and yagiyah and focus. So as we've been learning, that learning through Shas, the Gematria Shovim is Shas, learning through Gemara is the best way for a person to do tshuva. Learning more and learning more and learning more. And that's really why Mishpatim is found in Shovim, the very last week of Shovim. Kol rotze l'hachkim, when become wiser, yasek b'dini mamnos. And that's the ultimate tshuva of Shovim. Of course, these Ramazim are very, very, very nice, and they're all Mishpatim, because it's through Limud HaTorah and learning dini mamnos and choshe mishpat that's bring a person closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you go out to work, as I mentioned before, not everyone here is going to be a Rebbe. A couple of you might be. A Rebbe, a Rav. Most of you are going to probably go out and work. So now you're going to go out to work, and you're going to feel like maybe a failure, that you didn't make it in yeshiva. That's how people feel. I'm not sure whose fault that is, but that's the mitzvah. People feel like a failure oftentimes when they go to work. And the truth is that what you guys get to see when you work in the world of Choshe Mishpat is much more than what a person who sits in the base medrash gets to see. Now, this is not by any chance belittling a person sitting in yeshiva and teaching. That's obviously a very high level. But there's a zvulun and there's a yisachar. And what you could see, the Yad Hashem, it's easy to see Yad Hashem in the base medrash. Very easy. I hope. Maybe not as easy as I'm saying, but it's easier. There's no distractions around here. We have beautiful AC. Thank you to Tzvi for putting back on. And we have food, and we have water, we have basketball, we have pool, we're eating and drinking and coming back to learn. Everything we want here. We go out to work, there are many challenges. Whether challenges of Shmir Sanayim, whether challenges in making a parnasa, being successful, relationships with coworkers, employers, employees, there's a challenge out there. So in the world of Choshe Mishpat, it's much harder. And it's easy to just run away, that you don't want to be in the world of business. And for some, are meant to be here in the base medrash, and some are meant to eventually go out to work. Now who's going to go where? That's up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your wife, make such decisions. But to be able to see Yad Hashem in the world of Choshe Mishpat is a much greater, but it in itself is a great value. There is a pasuk. I should keep getting my chumash before I get started here. Ah, perfect. Thank you. There's a pasuk in this week's parsha that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he stumbled upon the sneh, so he heard a call, a voice come out. There was a big sound, and the sound he heard from the sneh was Vayomer al tikrav halom. Don't come any closer. Stop where you are. Shal na'alechen, remove your shoes, may al raglecha from upon your feet. Because the land upon which you stand is Admas Kodesh. Asks the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand. Al tikav halom, don't come any closer. So that means that where you're standing is fine. So how come he says, take off your shoes? Shal na'alecha. He was just told, wherever he stands is fine. Which place is Kadosh? Is this place Kadosh where he said, Altik Olom, or is the place where he's currently standing Kadosh? So the Chafetz Chaim explains that there's certain places in the world where the Kedusha is apparent. It's very clear that there's Kedusha in the base Medrash, in the base Knesset. What's not clear is everywhere else in the world where you're standing. When you go out to work, you're Osek in Choshe Mishpat and Dini Mamnas. There you have to be Shal Na'alecha, you have to remove your shoes. You have to remove your mask in order to see the Admas Kodesh. Every Dalat Amos in this world is Admas Kodesh. You just have to be Shal Na'alecha. You have to reveal that Kedusha. You have to expose that Kedusha wherever you might go. And that's really what Mishpatim is telling us. Forgetting the Ramazan. The Ramazan are very, very nice. We have to still speak about Gematrias a little bit. Gematrias are just simply telling us there's a connection. What's that connection? You can't build a Torah just on a Gematria, just on a Remez. You have to explain. So why are all these Ramazim and Mishpatim? Because the way to do tshuva is, tshuva means I'm far from Hashem. I need to show him. I need to return back to Hashem. How do I return back to Hashem? When I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's with me, wherever I go, that means I return back. So when I go out to work, when I'm Osek and Choshe Mishpat, Dina Mamros, then I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's there with me. That's the tshuva. There's a great ma'isa, the Yeshuas Yaakov. The Yeshuas Yaakov was a Rav in Poland. I forget which city already. And the custom was, in all the shuls, I'm sure all the other religious places, they had a picture of the president in the lobby. So one time the president reached out to the Yeshuas Yaakov and said, I want to come visit your kehillah. So, of course, we'd love to have you with open arms. So the president was coming, they wanted to make the proper preparations. So they changed the carpet or cleaned the carpet, wanted to paint the walls. They turned around the picture of the president so they don't ruin the painting. Painted the walls, cleaned the mirrors, and dusted the ceiling, whatever you need to do to prepare for the president to come. President comes. And he walks in with the whole entourage, and the tzibur is there to greet the president in the lobby. And it's quite obvious the president is noticeably upset. Yeshuas Yaakov immediately realizes what's going on, that the picture of the face was turned around, so they never put it back. So Yeshuas Yaakov says that, Mr. President, I know exactly what's bothering you. Let me explain something to you. See, there's a mitzvah called tefillin. It's a box, a black box, and wrap it around our arms and put it on our head. And every single day of the week, we wear this tefillin. But there's one day of the week we don't wear it, which is Shabbos. We don't wear it on Shabbos because the tefillin is meant to be an oath, a reminder that Hashem's with us. But on Shabbos, Hashem is with us. We don't need a reminder. He's mamish with us. We feel, we sense him. You, Mr. President, all year long, you're not with us, so we have the picture to remind us you're with us. But now that you're here, we don't need the picture. We have you, so he turned it around. Ingenious. Supposedly it worked. But the idea is that, yes, when we're in the base medrash, it's easy to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you're outside, it's not so easy. We need the reminders. But the goal is to reveal the Admas Kodesh wherever you go. Even the most mundane thing that you do, eating, sleeping, drinking, making money, traveling on the bus and traveling the subway, driving a car, airplane, all those are mundane, yet there's somehow Yad Hashem everywhere. You have to find it. And that's why Klai Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. Yosef went down to Mitzrayim to find all the Kedusha that's hidden throughout. There's Admas Kodesh everywhere. Some of you are going to be tapped to go to the real world and represent Klai Yisrael and make a Kiddush Hashem. And that's bringing Kedusha. And some of you will be told to stay in yeshiva, stay in base medrash, and teach. Both of them, there's Zvulun and Yisachar. Whatever your mission is, you have to know what your mission is. Now that's what we're trying to figure out our whole life, is what's our mission. You know, I used to be an actuary, now I'm a rabbi. I don't know if I made the right decision, who knows? But this is what we're always struggling with, what is our mission in this world? But whatever that mission is, whether being a Rebbe, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, it's always with the ultimate goal of showing wherever you go is Admas Kodesh. So that's why the end of Parsha Mishpatim finishes off with describing going back to Har Sinai. Even though Yisro was a Seres HaDibros, Mishpatim finishes off the Har Sinai kind of bracketing all Mishpatim with Har Sinai. That all comes from Kabbalah Satorah, that inspiration that comes from Kabbalah Satorah. That reminding us to always return back to the Torah. So listen to this amazing Baal Shem Tov. There's a mission in Maseches Avos that teaches us that b'chol yom v'yom, every single day, yotzis baskol. There's a baskol that comes out, mechrezes v'omeres, it announces, oy lehem lebrios, me'abonah shel Torah. Woe to mankind from disgracing the Torah. Meaning, people are not learning Torah like they should. Now, who here has ever heard that baskol? Good, no one raised their hand. Now, we don't have recorded it anywhere that anyone has ever heard such a baskol. It's possible someone did. But the assumption is no one ever heard this baskol. But it comes out every single day. So if it comes out every single day and no one hears it, so what's the point of it? What's the point of a baskol if you can't hear it, I can hear it, or no one can hear it? So Baal Shem Tov says that this baskol is not something that you and I or anybody can actually hear. It's not a voice. It's not a sound. It's not audible. But this baskol is an inspiration, a moment of inspiration that you and I have, whether it be from a chabregin, a tish, a shir, an experience, an encounter, a rav, a rebbe. Those moments of inspiration, a winter kolo, a summer kolo, those are the baskols that you feel, that you sense, not that you hear. So that comes out from Har Sinai every single day. The question is, what do we do with that baskol? Do we pay attention to that baskol? So, we said Mishpatim is about Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin. We spoke a little bit about Rosh Hashanah and Shofar today in Shir. So there's a very interesting halacha that there's something called a makri. There's a Baal Tokeya and there's a makri when it comes to the kolosh of the Shofar. The makri tells him what to do. Tekiya, Shram Trua, Tekiya. So the Magen Avraham, among other poskim, tell us that that makri has to be of the highest standard. A Yir Shemayim, a Tzaddik, the same qualifications for the Baal Tokeya. Now, I'm the makri in the minyan where I daven in Esh Kodesh. I am not of that standard, but I can tell you this much. You don't have to be a Yir Shemayim to be able to read Tekiya, Shvarim, Tekiya. Baal Tokeya, I get. He's like, mamish blowing the shofar, it's a tefillah. My job is just to, you know, follow along and like make sure he's ready. It's a very simple job. If you want to be makbun on the timing, okay. So why do you have to have a makri who's of such standard? That's number one. Number two is, there's a halacha that after the brach is made by the Baal Tokeya, so the makri says that first tkiya, and then he blows the first sound. Now, the Baal Tokeya does not need to be told what that first sound is. He knows the first sound is a tekiya. So afterwards it gets confusing. But the first one he knows. There's no question, he knows the first one. And on top of that, it's a hefsek. We never talk between a bracha and a mitzvah. And if you do, you have to repeat the bracha. So if there's a need, so then fine. I could be mafsik for a certain tzorech. But there's no tzorech for, he doesn't need me to tell him it's a tekiya. If he doesn't know the first sound of the Kiyah, he shouldn't be the Baal Tokeya. After that, I can get it. It's very nerve-wracking being up there. It is. Even as the Makri, just very nervous. The Baal Tokeya is very nervous, so he needs a reminder. But the first one, trust me, he does not need a reminder for the first one. And given the fact that it's a hefsek, so why does the Makri have to be Yirei Shemayim? And secondly, why does he have to be mafsik between the bracha and the first sound? So I believe the answer is that when the Makri says Tekiya, and when he says Shvarim, and Trua, and Tekiya Gedola, he's not reminding the Baal Tokeya. The Baal Tokeya knows his job. He's actually speaking to the Tzibur. I'm sure all of us could raise our hands and say that we've been in a Tzibur and we have not paid attention to the Tekiya. We've paid attention to the Tekiyas, but we didn't really pay attention to the Tekiyas. Do we take the sounds of the shofar to heart? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But the Makri is there to tell us, to the Tzibur, Tekiah, the Tekiah is speaking to you. That Tekiah is a Bas Kol Yosef Mihar Choref. It's an inspiration for you to wake up and do something about this. So we have inspiration throughout our lives. Whether it be Shovim, whether it be a Shofar, whether it be Chanukah, Purim. Throughout the lives, there's constant inspirations and constant kolos from the Shofar. But what are we doing about this? Are we taking the right lesson, the right message? There's a Gemara in Yuma that says, Kol Yotzei LaDerech, the person who travels, we're discussing with some of the people here before about, you know, eating before davening and traveling before davening. So there's a Gemara that says, Kol Yotzei LaDerech Kodem Kriyas HaGever. A person travels before Kriyas HaGever, which means before the rooster makes it sound, which means it's too early in the morning to travel, Damo Berosho. He's worthy of dying. It's dangerous to travel so early. If Kodem Yotzei Yitzias Kriyas HaGever, it's too early to travel. I think Al Pidrush you could say the following. Gever could also mean a gavra, person. Kol Yotzei LaDerech Kodem Kriyas HaGever can mean a person who travels on a path before he was called. A path that's not his. Someone else's path. You look at someone else, what he's accomplishing, that's Kol Yotzei LaDerech Kodem Kriyas HaGever. That's not your calling. There's a story with my son, Yisrael Meir. He's my second to youngest. He's around 7 now. So I think when he was 5, so I was once given the task, a rare task, of giving him a bath. So I got the bath ready for him. And I said, okay, meet me in the bathroom. So the bath is ready. He wasn't coming. So I was wondering where he was. So I went to his room. He was there, standing looking out the window, dressed like Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet. And I said, Yisrael Meir, what in the world are you doing? And he's just staring out the window. And he says, there's a guy in your car. I said, what does that mean, there's a guy in my car? He says, yeah, there's a guy in your car. I said, why don't you tell me a guy's in my car? So he's only 5, so I gave him a hard time. So I checked if it was my car. So I took out my keys and I honked the horn, and it was my car. There's a guy sitting inside my car. So then I pressed the panic button and started beeping and beeping and making noise and the lights flashing. And the guy jumped out of the car. And I felt so guilty. It was my neighbor's like grandfather. He just walked into the wrong car. I left my car unlocked, I guess, and his car was like, you know, the house next to it, and he got confused. So fine. But that's an example of a guy who's going on a derech that's not his derech. It's a person who's traveling on a path that wasn't his path. There's a great ma'isa, a guy in Bnei Brak needs to get a car for business. Now, Bnei Brak people don't have cars. So he's concerned that his neighbors might get jealous that he's going to get a car. So he went to a Steinman to ask him his Eitza, whether he should get a car or not get a car. It's going to be jealousy amongst his neighbors. The Steinman says, have you finished Shas yet? He says, no. He says, have you mastered a one Masechta yet? He says, nope. He says, no one's going to be jealous here. There's no jealousy. Who cares if you have a car? This is a Bnei Brak. No one cares about that. Maybe in Boca or 5 towns, people might be jealous of having a car, what type of car you drive. But the Maisa, we don't look at other people's cars. Kina Sofrim, look at the guy's learning Shas, the guy's learning a Masechta, if that's what to be jealous about. That's going to inspire us to do better. That car doesn't make a difference to us. So, Kol Yotzei LaDerech Kodem Kriyas HaGever, Dama Berosho. That means if you're looking at the other guy's pursuits, you're not going to be successful. Focus on what your goals, what your kochos are. So Imri Emes writes that the word kriya means hachana, to prepare. To prepare yourself. And there's a Gemara that says, the derech eretz, limda Torah derech eretz. It always says, vayikra el Moshe. Moshe was always called by Hashem first, and then he spoke to him. What's the derech eretz? The Gemara says, shelo yomar adam lechavero elam kein koreihu. Don't just start talking to a person. You say, Reuven, excuse me. Shimon, you first catch their attention. That's derech eretz. I always tell my kids, they're like, no one's passing me the orange juice. I said, well, did you ask someone or you just said, pass the orange juice? No one's paying attention, you just speak to the air. If you say, okay, Batsheva, you're near the oranges, could you please pass it to me? Well, then you've caught her attention, and then she'll pass you the oranges. But just to speak to the tzibur, no one's paying attention. So when the Makri, Lashon of Kriya, calls out, he's calling out to the tzibur to pay attention. And we see this every single day. We say, Yuval Tzion, the Karzel Zev Yamar means Mekablin Dein Min Dein. Mekablin means to prepare to be Mekabel something, to receive something. The Makri is calling all of us to get ready to receive something, to be inspired. The question is, what path are we taking? We all have to take a path in life. So the Maisa, I think it was a professor, was once passing by his old village or town he grew up in. And he heard that his old friend Elchanan still lived in this town. So he found out where Elchanan lived, and he knocked on the door, and he saw Rav Elchanan Wasserman, his old friend. They were classmates. Now this professor is a fire yid, completely off the derech. And he goes to Rav Elchanan. He remembered Rav Elchanan was such a genius when he was younger. Like, he was only imagining what kind of house he lived in, what he has accomplished, and he comes up to this very simple home. Knocks on the door, there Rav Elchanan welcomes him in, they embrace each other. And the professor says, Elchanan, I don't understand, you were so smart. This is what you've accomplished? This house of a couple of rooms maybe? This is what you've accomplished? So they schmoozed, I'm not sure exactly what the response at that moment was. But then it came time to walk his friend, the old professor, to the train station. And a train comes in, a very nice, updated train, nice cushions. Rav Elchanan says, you should take this train. This is a beautiful train. He says, no, but I'm not going that place. Rav Elchanan says, but it's a nice train, isn't it? It's beautiful. But it doesn't make sense. I'm not going to the south. I'm going to the north. So that's my point. It's not about how you live and how you enjoy this world. It's where you're going. I'm heading this way and you're heading that way. My house is humble, it's simple, it's basic. But when I'm accomplishing my goal, the bas kol that I've heard, the sounds of the shofar that I've been tapped into, sent me in this direction of coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means, shovim. Shovim is just a time period of just moments to focus on tshuva, to be better, to do sur meira, ase tov, to get rid of the evil, to move forward in the positive, and to accomplish great things in learning. And in particular, Choshe Mishpat, Esek B'dinei Mamonos, and you'll see, whatever you're going to, whatever path you choose in life, it's going to be a train that's going to go in the right direction. Your train might be nicer or not, depending whether you're going to be a businessman or a Rebbe, but some trains are nicer than others, some houses are nicer than others, but wherever it is, your goal is to reveal, to shal na'alecha, remove the barriers, remove the masks, remove the shoes, and find the Admas Kodesh, wherever it might be. Okay, so we'll stop here.